First of all, I praise God for this wonderful opportunity to stand before you and share the word of God. I bring you many greetings from the land of India and our fellowship, Kathleen Home, and all the churches and all the fellowships over there, and especially from Kathleen Home children, widows, and Bible College students and Swing Center students. And I thank our dear elders here for inviting me once again into your midst, and I feel it's my privilege to stand before you to share the word of God. And I also thank you for praying for us and our country, India, and we need your prayers. And you know, Kathleen Home had a vision called Vision 2020. Our vision is to reach all unreached areas of India with the good news of the gospel before 2020. And we're running towards that goal, and many fellowships and many churches coming together, and we all had one focus and one goal: to reach India before 2020. So now we have a network of 680 churches and came together and working all around India to reach our goal. So please pray for us. And recently, and 2 years ago, we have another government came, heathen government came. The group, which is a fanatic Hindu group, came into power. And they tried to, create many problems, especially to the Christian organizations. So keep on pray for us. And we know that our God is God, and he will control everything. And nobody can stop the gospel. Because, in India, the gospel is spreading like wildfire. And the people are coming and every day, and thousands of people coming to Christ. And because when they are tasting Jesus and all the miracle, when they're seeing signs and wonders in following, and they're just leaving their millions of gods and coming to the faith. So when this was going on, and many people is worrying this nation is going to be a Christian nation, that's why they want to try to stop it somehow, and this gospel. Not only that, when Christianity is spreading and it's also taking away all the barriers in our country, we have a terrible caste system, different castes and different levels, and the higher caste people, only 3% of people mostly controlling the whole country. And they're getting all the benefits. So the rest of all the, the caste, backward class and scheduled caste, and these caste people are suffering. But when we are preaching the good news, and we are, removing all these barriers, when the people coming from various kind of caste system, when they come to Jesus, they're leaving their caste barriers and loving everyone, and are treating everybody equal. That's also a big problem for the higher level people, higher level caste, to lose their ground. If this goes and they lose their power, so they want to stop somehow and making many obstacles for the gospel. But God is doing miracles, miracle after miracle among them, and giving us that's a way where we can go and reach the people. So praise God for that. And I know that many people among you are standing in the gap and praying and supporting us especially. So we thank you so much. Every time when I hear from Gary and Mom, and they used to tell about you, your prayers and how much you're supporting and, how much you're standing in the gap for our people and for our nation, especially for Kathleen Home. Praise God for these little kids from the streets, had a place where they can, get education. I have to tell you, in this last year, we started, we made our school as an English medium school because, English is very, useful. If you have an English language, then it's in India, especially in India, you get better chances in the jobs. So we changed our school into English medium. And we praise God to let you know our kids who are come from jungle and from various backgrounds, when they started to learn this English, they're really hungry to learn it. And we had the result came in last April, and they did the examinations. Every one of them, they got A plus. Everyone got A plus, and it was a tremendous result. And they working day and night to reach this level, especially the jungle children. Mom had seen these jungle children. They never been in the school, but when they, you know, put them in the school and giving them the, you know, education, they are really hungry to learn all this. And they perform wonderful, you know, performance they gave, and they worked hard. And praise God for these kids, and they are coming up. I believe these little nobodies is going to take this nation someday and bring all these people, 1.2 billion people, into the kingdom of God. Because once upon a time, I was like them. I never been in the school for 12 years when I come to 12 years old. I never, when Jesus Christ came into our life, and my life, and my family life, my father and mother, and it was tremendously transform our lives and bring us from into the darkness into the light. And then after that, I studied and I finished my degree in science, bachelor in science. And praise God, after that, God has called me. And, you know, I believe that this is going to happen to the same to with the kids of Catherine, who someday they're going to take this nation and all the people to Jesus Christ. So please pray for them and pray for our nation. We are on television ministry. We are also had a Bible school now, and where we are training men and women of God, sending them to the harvest field. We already sent 3 batches. In every batch, 30 students we are taking. And they're going and starting the churches around India. And we have some students from Calcutta, which is northeast of India. And we send them there, and now they're making churches over there. And the Lord is, you know, is rising army and from these nobodies. And God is doing miracles and wonders. So please keep on pray various projects, and also pray for our television ministry. Daily, I'm reaching millions of people in India through the television ministry. At present, we are using our state channel, and we're believing for our you know, the national channel to take, so that I can reach whole India with this channel. So we at present we are using this our state channel. So please pray for that also, and pray for India and our people. I believe that God is going to take this nation in the days to come. If God is serious about 120,000 people in Nineveh, in the city of Nineveh, if he is serious about 120,000 people in Nineveh, and how much is serious about 1.2 billion people in India and 1.4 billion people in China? God is serious about, God don't want to lose these people. Then he is rising the army, and he is sending the people. He is choosing the nobodies and to reach these people. So praise God for what God is doing in these nations. Pray, my friends and brothers and sisters, stand in the gap. And we need to win these souls into the kingdom of God. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. Let us read the word. And I'd love to share with you from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 18. Sorry, 8. Hallelujah. The word of God says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Here he's talking about the faith of Abraham. When God called Abraham from the Ur of Chaldeans, and he obeyed God's call. And when God called him, God said to him, if you go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, when he called, he said to Abraham, leave your father's house and leave your people, and follow me. Go to the place where I am showing it to you. God calling Abraham from Ur of Chaldeans, and when he was worshiping and all the idols, especially in, if you go to the history, the Ur of Chaldeans at that time is one of the advanced city, one of the advanced city at that time in Mesopotamia. But the people in Ur is used to worship goddesses. They don't know the real God. But all they know is they have a God and they are worshiping these gods. If you go to the history in Ur of Chaldeans and to the recent discovery says there is a temple called Nannar. Nannar's temple. Nannar is a goddess of Ur. And his wife, Ninigal, is wife also goddess. This Nannar and Ninigal, they both are goddess. These are the star gods, the moon gods. They came, the fallen garden. They worship this moon god. His name is Nannar. His wife's name is Ninigal. While they are worshiping, God called Abraham from his parents and said, "You go to the place which I want to give you as an inheritance. Not just only you, but your descendants, and you will be a blessing." When God called him, and he gave him a promise. If you go Acts chapter 7, then you can see the God is, giving him a wonderful promise. "And I will make you as a father to the nations." And this is the wonderful promise God gave him. Chapter 7 verse 3 says, "And he said unto him, Get thee out of the country and from thy kindred, and come unto the land which I shall show thee." And he told Abraham, "Leave your father and leave your country and leave your household and go to the place which I am showing to you, because this place I want to give as an eternal inheritance." And God said, "I will bless you as a blessing to the many nations, not just only for your family. And I want to make you as a blessing." God is giving him a wonderful blessing. He wants to give a wonderful blessing. And God wants to make Abraham as a blessing to heathen and to his people. But all he wants is he has to go and leave his family and his country and his place and his village or city, whatever God is staying. He said, "Go away." Many times God calls us. When God wants to call you, when he calls with a vision, he calls you with a cause, and he wants to make you as a blessing. He wants to use you as a blessing, not just only for yourself, but to many people. That's why God, when God called him, he called, "I want to make you as a blessing, not just only for yourself, not just only for your household, but to the nations." But to the nations, all you have to do is take a step of faith to live and do whatever God wants you to do. When God called Abraham, it was marvelous how, he left his city and the family and going and to the place where God wants him to go. And the word of God is not even, he has no clue where he has to go. He's going by faith. Many times when if you want to go someplace, and you need to make sure what kind of place is that, how to go there, and what the circumstances, especially the conditions over there. You need to know all these things. If you want to move to one place to another, not just for a holiday, to stay forever, then you make sure that everything is proper. But when God called Abraham, he didn't tell anything. He don't have any clue. He don't know what kind of place is that and how to go. And what is the circumstances over there, whether it's a nice place or a bad place. He never know anything. But God called him. When he called and he took a step of faith.
All you need, I and you need, when God calls you, you need to believe in Him. And you need to take a step of faith. Not only that, you need some boldness. You need boldness. In Abraham's life, he has boldness. He is living in a very comfortable life. It is a city. At those times, that is the Ur is not just a village. It is a city, a more advanced. And in those days, they have schools. They have every, system, drainage system, water system, everything. That means it was a very advanced city. To leaving the advanced city and all the facilities to go to the place which is a wilderness, it needs a big faith. It needs a lot of faith. And it needs a lot of boldness to go there. But praise God, Abraham is looking for an eternal inheritance. That's why he's not looking for the safety or security. He's just not looking for the comfort for himself. Many times when God calls the people, he calls them. But many people don't want to leave their comfortable zone. And they want to, enjoy all the comforts. And they want to enjoy everything here. And Lord, bless me here. You don't want to, leave your comforts. You don't want to take adventure. You need adventure. And God's people need adventure. When God calls you, you need a step of boldness, an adventure to go and follow what God has said to you. And here, Abraham, when God, he promised him great things. He promised him great things. If you go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, you will be a blessing not just only for your people. 3:8. He said, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He said, not only for your family, whole nations are going to be blessed through you. I want to make you as a blessing, not just only for your family, not only for just your father's house, not only for just yourself. I want to make you as a father to the nations. God has a bigger plan than you think, my friend. Many times we are very narrow-minded. God always have, when he calls you, when he calls somebody, he has a big plan. Many times we're losing that blessings because we are unable to leave our comfort zone and not to take an adventure for God. We must be a people of adventure. We must be like Abraham. Then you will see the blessings flow through you to many people, my friend. When God called some people, all we need is we need adventure. In the life of Abraham, we see three things. Number one is he's an adventurer. Number two, he has patience. When God called him and when God promised him, he waited patiently. Number three is looking for not just a temporary blessing, but for eternal blessing. We need to have these qualities. When you are coming to Christ, when God calls you, and you need to do an adventure. You need to do adventure. And you need to come out of your comfort zone and take a step of faith to follow him. When you did this, then God never made you shame. When you trust him, he never ever forsake you. When God called me, when I finished my degree, he called me to the ministry. And God said, when I'm applying for a higher level education, I want to get a good job as a lecturer. And when I want to apply for that, that night God spoke with me and said, Yesu Padam, I want you. You are my servant. I called you. I chose you when you are in the womb. I saved you many times when you are in the death point. And you showed me all my life how he was miraculously and he released me from, you know, from the death point. Then that night I said, Lord, here I am. I want to serve you. In all the days of my life, I belong to you. I will follow you. No matter whatever circumstances I face, I will follow you. I never, ever go back. I will follow. Then I take the decision and took the step of faith. When I say I quit my studies and I said I'm not going to join in to do my master's. I'm going to serve the Lord. And then, you know, when I started ministry, I started in the street. I asked God, can I go to a Bible college to take some more education? And he said, no, go to the street, not to the Bible college. I started in the, you know, preach the gospel in the streets. God said, go to the streets and highways, byways. And you want, what you want me to preach? Tell the people what I have done in your life. Tell them. And all the miracles and all the signs and all the wonders what I have done in your life. Tell the people. Then I went down there and began to, you know, singing and praising God, giving gospel tracts and telling the people who are come to me. I said, what he has done in my life. He can do the same things in your life. He raised my mother from the deathbed. He can do the same in your life. You can ask Jesus. Jesus can raise a person from the deathbed. He can heal the person. Then I lay hands on the people. God miraculously healing them. And these people who are healed come next day. Pastor, come to my village. Tell us more about this kind of God. We want to know more about him. We want to see, we see these miracles. We serve many millions of Hindu gods. No one of them never ever healed a person. When you prayed and we were healed. And they, when they invite me to their house, they always gather other people. Come, pastor is coming from other different village. And he is a pray for sick people. He pray for sick people. If you have any problem in the house, come and tell him. He will pray for you. God will bless you. That's the way we spread out the gospel. When I started, I have nothing. Sometimes I don't even have a clothes to wear. But I never ever look for clothes. I never look for my food. One day I was, you know, my wife and me, we don't have anything to eat. My wife said, we should have one of us must work as a, you know, to get a job and then we can get some food. You know, we need somebody to support our family. If you are preaching, I go and work. I said, no. I promised God. I said to God, I will live, me and my wife, we both serve you all the days of my life. No, we shouldn't do the job. We must do the job of, you know, God. We need to serve the God. That day we don't have even to eat to make any food with the rice. We have no rice, no vegetables. Everything was, you know, finished. And I said, maybe God wants us to, you know, fasting today. But no, God never says you when you have no money. He never put you in fasting. If he wants you to fast, he will tell you to fast. Not because there's no food. You know, and I said, then my sister came to my wife and said, there is a job fair is going in the town. Let's go and apply for a job. He's a crazy man. Don't listen to him. You see, we are here suffering. The devil coming another way and said, he's a crazy man. You come. I'm going up for a job. You can also come and apply for a job. But you know, I said to my wife, Kumar, please don't go. She said, no, it's not sin to do a job. Let me go. I will work so that we can get some money to live our life. When she's going, I'm just crying like a baby. And she's crying, Lord, my wife is going. If the people think, you know, she's working, I am, you know, preaching, they think I'm a lazy person and living on my wife's job. That's not good testimony to you, Lord. Please. And I'm crying like a baby on the floor and kneel down and crying, Lord, Lord. And the Spirit came to me, go and preach. Go and preach. Then I took my bag, went to the streets and took all the, you know, gospel tracts and preaching. I, from 10 to 12:30, I preached in the corners, in the highways and byways. And I finished all my gospel tracts. And then I said, Lord, I did your work. Now you have to do my work. I have no race at home. no money to buy, and you need to help me. My wife has gone to apply for a job. I don't know what happened to her. I'm just crying like a baby. And all of a sudden, while I'm praying, after I finish my, the preaching, I'm praying, Lord, help me. Then all of a sudden, it came into my mind, I have 35 rupees in my bank account. 35 rupees is less than half pound. I have 35 rupees in my bank. And if I want to keep my account, I can keep 20 rupees. Still, I can take 15 rupees. With 15 rupees, I cannot buy, but I can buy some little rice. I said, okay, I can buy some little rice with the 15 rupees. And then the Lord said, okay, you go to the bank. I take my bicycle, went to the bank, and I'm writing a voucher because I don't want anybody to see and laugh at me. 15 rupees, if they see, they laugh at you. And so I don't want anybody to see it. I just speak like this and writing 15 rupees voucher. And you know what? A friend of mine who studied with me, he became bank manager, assistant manager. So he is working in the same bank. He came behind me and, he put his hand on my shoulder and said, Pastor, take more money. I need. Please borrow me some money. Take more money from your account and borrow me some money. Give me some money. I want. He's joking me behind. I don't want anybody to see it. You see, that man came behind me and saw. When he saw 15 rupees voucher, he laughed. 15 rupees? You're writing to withdraw from the bank. I said, yeah, I don't have money. I have to tell you the truth. I have 35 rupees in my bank. And if I want to keep my account, I need to keep 20 rupees. I can take 15 rupees. He laughed at me and said, write 1500. I said, no, I don't have money. He said, write 1500. You have money. I said, no, I don't write. I know my account. I don't have money. And how can I write this? This man said, come with me. That day, our bank has an international money transfer facility. The first transaction came by my name. And the manager asked, who is this lucky person who got, first transaction by his name? His name is Yesu Paro. I said, I know, he's my friend. They both talked and upstairs, and he coming from there, here I am writing this way. Look at the situation, how God makes. And he take me to the manager. Sir, you're asking me a lucky person who got the first transaction. He says, Pastor Yesu Paro, he's my friend. He said, oh, sir, you got 5,000 rupees just now. 5,000 rupees just now, international transfer. We just got this facility, and the first transfer was came by your name. I said, praise the Lord. And I said, I jumped and praised the Lord, and I withdrew 1,500, and I bought a big bag of rice and vegetables, put all them in the rickshaw, and taking home. With abundance. My wife went to the job fair. You know what happened? That day, job fair was canceled. She came back home and looking for me. I was not there. She saw that I'm crying like a baby. And I warned, please don't go. Please don't go to job. And he was so worrying. What happened to my husband? Maybe he suicided himself. What happened? She's crying for me at home. But I came on my bicycle, and I knocked the door. As soon as I opened my door, she said, "Cry! I'm sorry. I did the mistake. You know what happened? God has canceled the job here. I don't do this again." I said, okay, no problem. Get all these things. She saw the big rickshaw. She saw the big rickshaw with me. I said, who gave you all these things? It's my God. My God. My God gave me. My friends, we're serving such a wonderful God. Still today, I never know who sent that money. Our God is God. He never leave you, never forsake you, if you trust him. All you need is a step of faith. A little boldness to go. And walk with God. Then he will do wonders. When Abraham is walking, it's not easy to walk. those days, thousands of, you know, hundreds of kilometers from Haran, from Ur to land of Canaan, and hundreds and there are nearly 1,200 kilometers. When he started his journey, he came to a place called Haran. There he lost his brother, and he lost his father. But he never stopped. He never stopped. He keep on his focus. In the day and night, his focus is on Canaan, on the promised land, and the promises of God, what he has given him. He's still, no matter what's happening to him, he's not looking all those things, not looking the problems he has. He's looking unto the promise of God. Many times we look at what's going on here, whatever may happen to you, but we need to keep on focus our faith in God. Abraham never, ever, you know, he looked back. He focused. You need to take a step of faith, my friend. When you did that, God never, ever, and he never disappointed. He never disappointed me in all the days. But all you need is, when you're walking with God, you need to do one thing. You need to forget everything behind you. Forget everything. What's happening? Abraham forgot everything. What is behind him? And he's looking forward to the promise of God. No matter how many things happen. And he lost his father. He lost his brother. And his brother said, I don't follow you. I don't want to come with you. I don't know where is the promised land. I think it is not good for us to travel together. I don't want to come with you. He stayed in Haran. In the halfway, he stayed. His brother left him. But he said, even you left me and the whole people left me, I want to follow God. You need that kind of adventurous spirit and faith, my friend. It's not easy all the time. Many times we think it's easy to walk, but sometimes it's hard. Even in the hard times also, we need to keep our faith and fixing our eyes on Jesus. No matter what happens to you, no matter how many obstacles comes into your life, but we need to keep on our focus and in Jesus and to walk with him. When you walk with him, you never, ever disappoint. You will be a blessing to many people. Today, you know, that when I started the ministry on the streets, I have nothing to anything. I don't have, all I have is one mat. We don't even have a cot to sleep. We don't have a cot to sleep on. We don't have our own house. We used to, you know, live in a rented house. We never look for all these facilities. We're just enjoying our life when walking with Jesus. All I have is joy. The joy. This is a wonderful life. You can be a blessing to many people. Wherever I go and wherever I preach, where people are coming to kingdom, and I see the people is coming to the kingdom of God, it gives me a lot of joy. I never look for anything. I'm like just enjoying every day. When I see the people coming to Jesus, that's the wonderful and most joyful, you know, thing in our hearts. But God always never ever lose me. He always taking care of me and providing everything whatever I need. Before I ask him, the things are there. Before I pray, it is there. He is the provider. That's why I used to tell our pastors, maybe the government of India may fail to pay for the workers, their workers. The government of India may have no money, but my God never ever lack any money. He always plenty. More than we ask. I never ever look back in all these days, my friend. I never lack any good thing. Always he's providing me in a supernatural way. Because God is faithful who called you and me. We need to put our trust in him. Not on our ability, not our wisdom, not our money, not our people. But if you put your trust in Jesus, you never, ever disappoint. Praise God for that. And also Abraham, he left the people, he left everything and followed him. And he has as a wonderful patience. You see, when God promised him, he never worried. Oh, it must happen today. Today I must, you know, have those blessings what God has promised me. I must have now. He never ever worried for this. He has a lot of patience. As a children of God, we need patience. Many times, you know, when you accept Jesus, yeah, I want to see the blessing now. Now I want to enjoy every blessing. You need patience. And Abraham waited and waited and waited. Every time when he disappointing, maybe if he has any doubt, God used to speak with him. Come, Abraham, can you count the stars? Can you count the sand? Like that way I'm going to bless you and your descendants. That's a wonderful promise. He never, ever lose his faith. He always put his trust in God because he has a lot of patience. The word of God says, if you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6 verse 13, and he put his trust in God. Chapter 6 verses 13 to 15. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he made patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He waited patiently and obtained the promise of God. As a children of God, as a believer, you need patience. Sometimes we are, you know, we're so excited. We want the blessing right now. Today, tomorrow is too late. Oh, my friends, we need patience. We need patience. God never late. He knows the time. You need to wait for God's time, not your time. You need to pray for God's timing, not your timing. That's why Jesus said when he prayed, Lord, let your will be done, not my will. Let your will. As a Christian, we always pray, Lord, let it will be happen to me as I will. No, as God's will. Lord, let your will be done in my life, not my will. If you are a child of God, you always want to please your Father. You need to please your Father. You need patience. Because of the patience, he blessed. As God, the word of God says, as a Christian, you and I need to be, you need patience. And wait on God. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, let the people know, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. He is at hand. You need patience. If you have that, God certainly will bless you. The second thing is we need patience. The third thing is you need a vision. A vision. Abraham has a vision. Some people don't have any vision. That's why God said, without vision, my people will perish. You need a vision. You need a goal. God wants to use you. Without vision, without goal, your life will be a big mess. God's people, as a children of God, we must have a vision. When God has given me vision 2020, when I talk with the people, they said, how can this little man reach all India and all unreached areas? How is it possible the man on the bicycle can reach the whole India? They thought I'm a crazy man. I don't care what the people think about me. But I know when God give me a vision, I will reach there. We must have a vision. And when I first shared with the people in India, I said, we need to work together. We need to the whole India with the good news of the gospel before 2020. We need to remove all the barriers among the churches, among the brethren, among the fellowship. We need to remove all these man-made barriers. We make ourselves here, selves, and you have your barrier. I have my barrier. You go this way, go that way. How can you reach the people? We need a vision. We need the heart of Jesus. It is not yours, it's not mine, it's God's. We all have to work together into the kingdom of God to reach the people. Then the Holy Spirit someday touched all of these people. And I said, Lord, if nobody comes to me with me, I go by myself.
Then the Lord began to touch the hearts of the people, and everybody wanted, I want to come and join with you to reach that goal. I want to work with you. No matter what kind of denomination I belong to, I want to work with you. Then we come together to reach that goal. And now we're reaching many, many thousands. God is expanding, and we are reaching all unreached areas. You need a vision, because God is, when he gave him, a vision, and that you will reach there. And don't look yourself, don't look your ability, don't look how strong you are, but look unto Jesus. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says, in Abraham, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham not just only looking for Canaan on earth, he's looking for the eternal Canaan over there in heaven. Look at that way he is looking. The reward he's looking is an eternal. He has a vision, my friend. Do you have that vision? Are you looking for not just only for the things of this world? We're looking for things above. There is a wonderful promise. Where you and I going to stay with Jesus forever and ever? It is a wonderful promise. That's why many people don't understand how much God loves you. And where you and I, we can rejoice in Jesus, because you are so special to Jesus. And he is going to prepare a place, and you are going to be with Jesus forever and ever with him in the eternal life. We have a reason to rejoice. That's why Jesus said, if you go to Luke chapter 10, I want to show you that Jesus said to the disciples, verse 20, now, which is standing in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subjected unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We can rejoice even though we don't have anything on this world. We can rejoice even though we walk in many tribulations and tests, because our names are written in heaven. We have heaven is with us, and God is going to dwell with you and me, and we are going to dwell with God forever and ever. We're looking into the eternal blessing, my friend. Abraham is looking into the city which was built by God. He's not just looking for Canaan, not only just for this blessing, but the blessing beyond this life. If you really know that your names are written in heaven every day, we rejoice. Praise God for the Lord. My name was written in heaven. I have a home there. My name is written there. You rejoice, my friend. Don't look at the situation you are facing. Don't look at the problems you have. The devil put all these things and say, how can you rejoice? You say, you still have your sickness. You still have your problems. Your life is a big mess. How can you rejoice? Tell the devil, I rejoice, not because what I have here. I rejoice, my name is written in heaven. What an awesome God we're serving. We are going to reach that place, my friend. We're going to reach. Rejoice in the Lord. God has called you. Don't go away from his call. Follow him, and you reach the Canaan someday. No matter what is happening around you, don't look at, but look unto him. Follow him, walk with him. You never, ever be ashamed, but you rejoice in Jesus. God bless you all. Ooh, hallelujah.